And yeah, so it's very interesting. Okay, so just to explain to you guys, we flew obviously from that side, land Bangkok, overnight train. No, it was a train. It was a train all the way to this area. It's called Sarutani, and from Sarutani a ferry to this little island called not little, no, definitely not little. This island over here is called Koh Phangan. And we met up there with the missionary team of Kobus and Deirdre. They've been there for just over 5 years or more than 5 years. And since they've been there, the Christians there have been increased from about 30 to 300. And I've got them on my BBM, and apparently it's growing. It's a nice space there, and they're so excited what the Lord's doing there. And just the things there, the churches there, a lot of the believers become Christians there via miracles. For example, healings and even people being raised from the dead. I think we actually don't see that much in the Western church. I think it's because of our intellectualism and stuff. I think we sort of put a damp on the Holy Spirit's movement. But yeah, so it's really interesting that just the Christians there, I almost want to say they're super saved. They're far out. They love the Lord with everything. And a lot of them have to make a lot of sacrifices. For example, they get rejected by the families, and their businesses get boycotted and so forth. So it's really, they make a huge sacrifice of being Christian. It's not just I become a Christian, as we find in South Africa. It's really a big decision, and it has its consequences. And one thing you'll notice on the island is there's loads and loads of temples. It's in all the high places. Together with a lot of yoga centers, there's quite a lot of yoga centers. It's very apparent everywhere. A lot of foreigners go there for their spiritual experience, and it's very sad because when you go to the temples, and I'll touch a bit on the other places we visited, you get a lot of foreigners that you actually have to pay the monks to pray for you. It's not free, and all these young, Europeans or Americans that bow down before these monks, and they pray and smoke and incense and all too, and it's actually so sad, because I mean, I'm asking myself, these people come from Christian countries, or what are we doing wrong? So it's interesting that I just find it very interesting, and they're just something you'll notice, like at each house and each business has this, it's like a little temple, it's like this miniature dollhouse temple with little Buddhas in. And it's called the spiritual house, a spirit house. And what it is basically, we don't actually we have photos, but we didn't show it. But it's just for them to, instead of going to the temples and paying the monk, you can, apparently Buddha likes red cool drinks, so you put a red cool drink there with a straw in and a little bun or something. I don't know what he likes to eat, likes to eat. And so then they pray and they bring their little offerings and stuff. So that's something you see everywhere. It's really like apparent. I was just like looking at all the stuff. Like, so asked one of the missionaries, and what's this about? He says, "No, the spirit house," and explained it. You find that everywhere. It's actually very interesting. And then, we served there. Just a testimony of one when we went there on my birthday the evening. Me and Tiens and Emily is the girl. She's from Shofar Piketberg. We went out and Emily stayed at the bungalow interceding for us. Me and Tiens with our little Puchis mission there. Throughout the like very late in the evening, a mission there to the town area, and I got a word for just a lady boy, and I just felt he's gonna wear like a velvet bluish purplish dress, like very dark purple, dark blue, and Tien's got the word rock, and not necessarily the rock like rock, just in a more symbolic sense. And like a red light type of thing. So I said, okay, immediately red light district. So we missioned with our little Vespa Puchi thingies, went to the town, and we just drove up and down and up and down, and we couldn't get anyone to fit that description. So we saw these two ladies. I think they rendered their services there. We went to approach them and sat down. Obviously, there's a huge communication gap, so you like, And we shared a bit with them, and I think we couldn't really get through because, I mean, the English is almost non-existent. But we just trust that the seed that was sown there in their lives, Lord takes it to completion. And obviously, in the next morning, we had a service, and it just stuck by me. We got these words, and Lord, what's going on? And we were still praising, worshiping, and Tim was standing next to me, and he like budged me. And he said, he points, and there's like this portrait of Jesus. And someone's vision how he looks like, just beneath it is this huge, like it's like a red candle with like this, the whole poster is like this red light type of thing, and just opposite that to its right almost were the two lady boys standing there, and there was a lady boy with the velvet dark blue dark purple dress thing, And so it was awesome. Yeah, it was really awesome. And so we, I was like excited. Okay, we're going to pray for them and stuff. And Emily's next to me. And she didn't tell me us beforehand, but she was praying also. She interceding. She got the word Minky at like Eastern Beauty, like a white powdered faced lady. And I didn't think, yeah, I think she said it was good to be in Ladyboy. And the guy next to the other second lady boy was fit exact description, and his name was Ming. So it was very close to Minky, maybe South African version of Ming. And we had a chance to pray for them and just affirm them and being a man and so forth. And the one almost shed tears and stuff. So it was really a huge blessing. So so we missioned back from on the ferry back to mainland Sarutani, overnight train Bangkok. Overnight train to the Chiang Mai, right there. So yeah, a lot of traveling. Just another little joke on the way here, on the way back. I think Tien was missing Charlene, or I don't know, he was falling asleep, and he sort of cuddling close to me. I don't think he realized, and I was leaning all more in the passageway. And Emily woke up, and she's scanning herself, of course. And I was like, so I think 3 o'clock in the morning, I was just like, and Tien obviously woke up and realized. Shifted the other way again. So thanks, Dance, for that intimate moment. So back in Chiang Mai, we met up with the missionary group. There's two missionaries, the Thai people, Patrick and Tip. They're very just humble people. So nice to, and they actually minister to the far north of Thailand. There's the remote tribes, the mountainous tribes, and they minister to the people there. And basically, I'm just going to summarize what we did there in Chiang Mai. We didn't visit a lot of churches really there, but we went to a lot of schools, and we had a chance to teach English. And which is apparent there is they work a lot of Christian elements into the teaching English. And the one school is like an art school. You guys saw the one picture. There's like had a pink background. It says Just Speak Out. And their sign is a J, and the J stands for Jesus. And They have very creative ways of bringing across the message and the gospel, which is very, very interesting. And just one thing, we went to a temple there. It's a very big, huge temple on this mountain. It takes about 300 plus steps, and Tien was counting it. He lost it because he was searching for Achiko, that dog. He lost count. But they're just on the way. It's like very steep, and there's like these two dragons coming down on both sides, with these snakes like popping out of their mouths, and there's these stalls with these masks. It's very, very, actually very demonic. Anyone can just pick up the spiritual heaviness there. It's really like and then when you get to the top, it's inner sanctuary. It's got these like hundreds of Buddhas everywhere, and there's these monks, and then they give you this little paper, and you say you need to like bow, you need to be always lower than the monks, and you have to pay homage and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, that's not going to happen. That card's not going to fly. That just won't happen. And poor Emily couldn't go in because she had a short pants on, and it might be distracting, whatever, I don't know. But anyways, that was Chiang Mai. Chiang Mai is a very mountainous region. It's very, there's a lot of churches. The first church in Thailand was actually found in Chiang Mai. We actually drove past it. So from Chiang Mai, I'm just going to give you guys a very concise description of what we did. So from Chiang Mai, overnight train again, Bangkok to Pattaya, it's around about there. That's the third place we went to, and we met up there with a missionary team, Dani and Marina Kraino, their son Daniel, and that very interesting dog, doesn't like anyone but himself. That doggy, oh my, yeah. So we met up with them, and they've been their missionaries, I think, more than 15 years now, and they just treated us like royalty, really. They just a quick testimony of theirs that they shared with us. Actually, once we shared with the tithing, the offering. But the lease of their house was finished, and they needed a bigger, larger accommodation, and they just had their budget was around about 7,000 baht. My bad, I said 1,000 baht this morning. So. They said 7,000 baht, which isn't a lot of money, but you divide it by like 3,000 rand. Yeah, it's not a special house. I mean, it's not that much. And thanks for correction. So they just trust the Lord. They got a state agent, and they asked, listen, this is our budget. What can we get for this? And she took them to this. It's a little estate. It's like this. It's like it's got security and everything. She showed them this house, like three-story house, and it's big. It's nice. It's very typical. It's got like Thai elements in it. The building style. It's a very beautiful house, and aircon in every room, almost in every room, and it's really nice. And they told them, "Listen, lady, this is our budget. You know, is this gonna be enough for this house?" And later on, if I just make long story short, the owner of the house is some millionaire. And he just wants responsible people to look after his house, basically. And they got the same amount. There wasn't any increases for the past, I don't know how many years they've been staying there. And the Lord just provides like that. And they got this, got this palace of a house. The first house was this, I mean, it was smaller than, I think it was just a bit larger than almost like the kitchen, yeah. The kitchen and bathroom area. And the Lord just provided them with this beautiful mansion. They can obviously cater for a lot of visitors and stuff, which is actually a huge blessing. So the church in Pattaya is very interesting. That street you guys saw and that sign, Lucifer Disco, and Tien's ministering there to some ladies or lady boys. You never know until you actually speak to them. It's a lady or lady boy there. Yeah. And we one evening went to, it's called Walking Street. It's just on the seaside. And the entire street is dedicated to prostitution and brothels and all things crazy. And we walked there and... yeah, it's like the most perverted stuff. I mean, they give you menus with like the services that they render and all kind of stuff. And we basically just went out and we gave our tracks and we asked if there's any needs. We prayed for them and stuff on the spot. And but it's really it's not easy ground. I mean, the entire Thailand is really not easy ground. And all of us can testify of God's just grace and just blinding us for not to see certain stuff that's really would have affected us and opening our eyes to see certain stuff that we needed to see and pray for. So just outside Pattaya is a cool small island called Koh Si Chang Island, and Donny Marina also have the supported church there and the pastor there. And this church, you guys saw, there's people sitting on the ground with that little oven thingy. They eat together each and every evening, and I never eat some, ate so many chicken kidneys, and I don't eat kidneys. And that lady just puts some on my plate, and I'm just like, I say no, and she doesn't stand no. I don't know if that means yes. I don't know. But yeah, I had my fair share of chicken kidneys. Right, so, but very, very interesting. And chicken feet. Oh. But it's very nice. It's wholesome. It's experience. Maybe I actually should have put that tonight. Chicken feet. So we support a lot of the local churches right throughout the mission. We just prayed a lot. And at various places and supported the local missionaries there. I think they sort of hungered out for a bit of South African and we just helped them out in that regard. And just our last little place we went to from Pattaya, we went back to Bangkok. Tien's probably going to show you guys now. It's an organization called Nightlight. The whole purpose is to reach out to the prostitutes in Bangkok area and the different red light districts there. And you guys also know, some of you guys saw that DVD Furious Love, will notice, will probably recognize them. And what they do, they basically get the ladies from the streets. They have outreaches, I think, on Tuesdays and Fridays. And then they invite the girls to come to, they got like buildings there. They make t-shirts and they make jewelry and they export the jewelry to America and to Europe and to Australia. And they obviously help the ladies, equip them with skills, not really of jewelry making skills and so forth, to get an alternative income. Yeah, so all in all, the mission is really, I think, was very successful, really a blessing. I mean, I think the impact that we have, we won't actually realize until we enter the pearly gates one day. And so I encourage you guys to really get focused now if you guys want to do missions next year and so forth. Really get focused now and to really make the decision now and trust God for the provision. So next year when we go back to Thailand again or wherever the Lord sends us, that we that you guys can go.
Thanks, Ralph. I can maybe just add one or two things just before we pray together. I was really encouraged, We really saw, we were a small team. We were about eight to start off with that were really keen to go to Thailand. And unfortunately, it wasn't possible for everyone to go. The finances didn't always come through or, schedules changed and so on. And it's great as far as the finances go to maybe just start putting aside a little bit of money as a seed, and trust the Lord to bless you with the rest if you do want to go next year on outreach. Let's plan for that. The Lord honors, good stewards. And I just really want to encourage you. It is life-changing. I mean, our faith was really encouraged there, seeing the church in Kopanang. The believers on the island, they've got a saying with which they greet each other every time they see each other, and that's, you know, expect a miracle today. And I think that's really encouraging, and just listening to their stories and testimonies, how many miracles there have been. You know, there have been three resurrections basically in the last 5 years. And, you know, we basically fellowship with the one lady whose father was resurrected. She had just become a believer, and she so badly wanted to minister the gospel to her dad. But then he was on the mainland, and he passed away before she could speak to him. And immediately, you know, they take the bodies to the temples to be burnt. And she just told them, just, you know, just wait. I must come and mourn. And I just want to be there with him and pray there. And, you know, so she got there and she prayed for 3 days for the Lord to raise him from the dead. I mean, 3 days, then you're properly dead. And she knelt there by him for 3 days, and then he got up. And 2 weeks after that, he gave his life to the Lord. You know, I thought that was a bit slow. But, you know, what am I doing here? Okay. And then 2 months after that, he died. But then he knew the Lord. So she had peace. And that's amazing. And stories like that, you know, are doing the rounds, and people are coming to the Lord. Most of the Buddhists that come to faith in Christ come by way of a power encounter with Jesus, a miracle healing or something like that. Because in Eastern tradition and religion, it is 100% fine to actually have two beliefs, even if they're contradicting. So often they're very happy for you to tell them about Jesus, but then afterwards they'll still say, and this is Buddha, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, so they'll accept what you're saying as the truth, and they might even take that away with them and hold on to that truth, but then they still have Buddha as well that they worship. So, yeah, and reincarnation. So it's very difficult. In the Buddhist culture, you know, it's a very works-based. They can earn merits to come back in their next life as something better. One way that's the most popular way for a man or boy to earn merit for himself and for his parents is by becoming a monk, going to the monastery for a few years. You know, then you really cash in. And for the ladies, to earn money for the family, it's often the ladies that are working in the rice paddies or whatever. And, you know, in the northeast, the Isan is the poor region bordering Cambodia and so on. And so what those families tend to do, they send their daughters to earn money in Bangkok as prostitutes, because that's the most money that a woman can make. And even some boys opt for that route. Obviously, the most money they can make is as lady boys. And they often start, you know, from puberty, taking hormones to, you know, to try and, you know, become more feminine. And then they have various operations and so on. It's a very sad state of affairs. There are lots of lady boys walking around, and they throughout the country. Saw on the slides that one picture of the toilet sign, and there were three people there. So it's actually recognized as a separate gender. They call them, you know, officially referred to as women of the second class. And so it's a very sad state of affairs, and Thailand really needs our prayer. You can see basically the manifestation of their belief and just how the enemy is stealing from those people. And God really loves them. He gave us a real heart for them. He showed us independently from any other church to go to Thailand as a shofar table view. And then Rondebosch got the same message. In Stellenbosch sent a scout team as well. So it's the first time as a shofar group that we're sending teams to Thailand. So it was really the Lord's timing for us to get involved. So we're seeing how can we support the church there? How can we partner with them? So we're going to continue to pray for them and support, and more than likely we'll go back to Thailand sometime, hopefully next year, if there's, you know, enough people that we can send a team again. But I want to encourage you also, this is the t-shirt I'm wearing, dressed all funny tonight, a Nightlight t-shirt. We brought 10 of them from Thailand. If you purchase one at 150 Rand minimum, 1,000 Rand maximum, that money will all go to the church in Thailand. So I want to encourage you, if it fits, buy it. And it's a really nice, good quality shirt. And let's support what the church is doing in Thailand, because God is really moving there, but the laborers are few. So you never know. Maybe the Lord lays it on your heart. The man that's ministering there in Pattaya was led to the Lord about 16, 17 years ago by Wim Johan, and now he's a missionary with his wife and son in Thailand. So God's got, he's got a perfect plan for the salvation of the whole world. He loves all the people of the world, and he's inviting the church to partner with him. You know, because often he has to move sovereignly because the church just isn't answering the call. But his first option, his first choice is to move through the church. So God, our God is patient, and he's really mostly he's waiting for us. And we just want to encourage you, like that last slide said, you know, in Isaiah's prophecy, you know, who will go for me, the Lord says. And he said, I will go, send me. I just want to encourage you guys with that. I don't know, Charlene, have I said what you wanted to say?
This morning, I just encourage everyone, because I'm very grateful for my husband. When we've gone on missions before, there's always worries and insecurities, or I always like come up with excuses. Like there's fears, you know, of not going. But at the end, I've always been so grateful that he's just gently encouraged me to go. And just sitting here now, I was just thinking, 1 year we actually went to Durban, and I grew up in Natal. And I can tell you, I didn't know Natal. I grew up there. And we went to Durban, and we went into the townships. We spoke to the people and the children in the schools. We went on a, we made soup for a soup kitchen. Yeah, they've got like this ministry where they, how many people do they feed? 300 people a day. And so they bring in all the food, and we sorted through all the food, and we made the soup, and then we went and gave it to all the people on the street. And then the one night we also went to a night shelter where we spent a good time chatting to the people. And yeah, I never knew what was going on in the world and in my own town and stuff. So yeah, and yeah, that's what I also just want to encourage you with. Going on in retrospect, thinking about that now, if I go to another country, it's almost, I can't imagine going to another country and it not being in a missions context, because there you really get to know the people, and you're in their houses and you eat their food and you get to know their hearts, you know, and that's a really exciting way. That was a really exciting way for me to get to know Durban, you know. And also we went to India and Windhoek before. So, yeah, so I just want to encourage you. And this morning I just wanted to say, yeah, set your heart on it and start saving. If you've never been on the outreach, especially if you've never been on the outreach, you know, make purpose in your heart. It's really life-changing.
Amen. And we normally go in June for about, say about 10 days, which means think of saving up some of your leave for June next year. And we're looking at later this year going up to Springbok to go and support the Shofar congregation up there. So we'll do that maybe over, we'll take a long weekend or something like that. So watch the announcements for more details. But it really does bless you almost more than what it blesses the people. It blesses them a lot, but you come back with a whole lot from the Lord. So let's huddle up in groups of 2, 3, or 4, and let's pray for Thailand, for the people of Thailand, for revelation of the love of God. And, you know, maybe you there's a certain revelation that's very close to your heart, or that God has really blessed you with, or kind of, you know, you're really strong in a certain area. You know, speak that over Thailand. That thing that God has blessed you with, you proclaim that over Thailand. You know, that is your gift. And, you know, distance is actually no object for God. So let's speak to him. Obviously, it's more enlightening going to the place, and then we can actually lay hands on people. But our prayers are powerful. We've spoken about that countless times. And it's also why we're going to be praying together and fasting next weekend. Don't forget that. But let's pray for Thailand, then for the church in Thailand. just have it on my heart to pray for unity. I mean, they really do love each other, but the culture in Thailand is everyone wants to do his own thing. And so you find a lot of church, you know, sometimes the church would split just to form a new church, and they don't necessarily always deal with their differences in opinion, you know, so that they'd really be the Lord would unite them, because they really need that at this time to be a united front. I mean, it's less than 1% Christian in Thailand, and they're really up against this Buddhist monster, but God is greater. And we can see the shift is coming, but we need to pray into what God is busy doing there. Is that all right? So we'll just pray for 3-4 minutes, and then I'll close for us. Thanks. Bless you.